Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually, we're great, but together, we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. It's hard to imagine a world where we leave future generations with fewer rights and freedoms. Since the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills aimed at blocking people from getting the essential sexual and reproductive care they need, including abortion. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves access to care. And with supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future to learn more and support their cause.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, everybody. Yes, more MMA, everybody. A weekend of MMA festivities has wrapped up at the UFC Apex with Islam Makhachev picking up a fourth round rear naked choke submission win over Thiago Moises in the main event. And before that, we witnessed the triumphant comeback of the former UFC women's bantamweight champion Miesha Tate. She stops Marion Renault in the third round, first fighter to ever stop Marion Renault, and it turned out to be Renault's final fight of her mixed martial arts career. As we welcome you to the UFC Vegas 31 post-fight show, wherever you're watching here on MMAfighting.com, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, we are here for you, and we're going to react to this card right now. I am Mike Heck. We got Alexander Kately, the Prince of Positivity, joining us. Hello, sir.
So what's 7.5? All right, 7.5. I'm jumping the gun here, Mike. I know we haven't gotten to the discussion prior to introducing me, but I'm just gonna say 7.5 out of 10 for now. I don't know if you want me to elaborate now or in a moment, but
all right, I'll have you elaborate in a moment. But you're giving this a solid C. Casey Lydon joins us as well.
Where I come from, and that's Canada B.
Yeah, that's Canada for you. My God, everything's more positive. Wait, Canada.
Participation award, easier. Canada.
Jeez. It's just easier up here.
And Casey Lydon is here too. He had some great analysis, and a good chunk of that analysis came true tonight. Yeah. Casey, how are you feeling? Feeling confident? Feeling good?
Yeah, I'm like that. The UFC need to hire me instead of that one betting guy they have with the crazy smile. I don't know. What's that guy?
The Giannis the Greek or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. He's, sometimes I'm way off. Tonight, nailed it.
Tonight, you nailed it. All right, go ahead, AK. Elaborate on the 7.5.
My lip is going crazy. Oh, gross.
Look at that. It's like pulsing.
Yeah, I know. All right. AK.
Oh, that's great, AK.
That's just nasty. Listen, we had just. I don't know if it was on the Q&A or I think it was the preview show on Monday. Mike, you want to bring back the gymnastics grid system. It actually was perfect for tonight because I said everything goes to plan. If everything, every fight, every fighter reaches its potential, I said this card maybe could be an 8.5, an 8.5 out of 8.5. So that's how the scale works. It's not a 7.5 out of 10. This card was a 7.5. out of 8.5, if that's so people can do your own math on that one. But I thought a lot of the storylines that the UFC would have wanted to push hit. Tate's return, Makhachev's dominance, maybe they would have wanted Jeremy Stephens win, I don't know, but there are a bunch of finishes, some good back and forth fights. Maybe I'm scoring it too low, but I'll go 7.5. I think that's how strong this card was. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a fun card in the aftermath of 264.
What did you think of the card overall, Casey? Because we were talking about this a little bit before hit record, but I feel like this is one of those events where a lot of the big winners and those who had great performances, maybe outside of Miesha, because I feel like she has a lot of options right now. I feel like a lot of those winners are either in the same spot they're in right now or maybe even slightly worse because – once you see this person's name on the other side of a contract, I have a feeling like some of these top fighters are going to be hesitant to say, you know what, I'll fight him or fight her.
Yeah. I mean, I said coming into this card, I think what was my gymnastics score was I was giving this card a potential of a 5, mostly because I just didn't feel they were competitive matchups. But they were good storyline matchups, good for the fighters' careers, maybe. But I felt vindicated. I mean, I gave it a 5 coming in, and it scored a pretty good 5 in its execution. Yeah, but Islam is going to be in the same situation he was in before. We knew how good he was, and he showed it, and it was just a reminder that this guy is as good as Daniel Cormier is good as everyone says he is, as good as Khabib says he is, and all the people saying that he's the next Khabib, but maybe better. I don't see any issue with that. He just now needs higher level competition to fight. Now, who's gonna sign the contract? That's gonna be the big issue. So yeah, just have to wait.
I liked the call out. I thought the call made perfect sense. Called out Rafael dos Anjos. Perfect call out. Perfect. I mean, I like the Dan Hooker idea too. So either of those two work. And I think those are probably the only two options he's going to have, AK. Do you agree with that? I know we're going to talk about this more tomorrow and on to the next one, but I feel like these are the two options that he has the best shot of getting right now inside the top 10.
Which ones did he say again? He said RDA and what do we say, Dan Hooker?
Well, Dan Hooker is a name that we continue to throw out. And for some reason, like Makhachev, when you think of him and potential names, Dan Hooker seems to be at the top of everybody's list.
Yeah. I mean, our RDA seems so perfect. I think we said someone said that Dan Hooker said in an interview somewhere he would fight Makhachev if he won this. I don't recall seeing that quote myself. But I think I prefer the RDA matchup. I like matching people on winning streaks with people on winning streaks for one thing. And I think RDA is coming off a win, right? Sorry, this is my
Felder fight.
Fuzzy. Okay. So I like matching winners. Dan Hooker on a kind of a tough 2 losing streak. That doesn't speak to how good he is. We know he's a top 10 guy. But if the two guys are trending in the same direction, that's usually the direction I'm going to want to go. And also, I think Makhachev would beat Hooker. And there's just the fan part of me that's like, well, I don't want to see Hooker have to take a third straight loss, especially if it's just in service of, building up another guy, which I think is what that matchup would be. I don't like using Dan Hooker in that capacity. So definitely leaning towards the RDA one. Wouldn't complain about either fight being booked. We just got to get Makhachev someone in the top 10.
Casey, I know rankings are based on resume and, you know, quality wins and stuff like that. And sometimes fighters, you know, have bigger resumes and they fought bigger names, and others kind of struggle in that department because of how good they are and the potential they have. So just based on his performance tonight and based on what you've seen over his last 8 fights, because he's on 8 fight winning streak, guys, 20-1 right now, in your own personal rankings, where do you rank Islam Makhachev at 155 pounds? Is he top, like, is he a top 3 guy in your eyes right now?
Not based just on, okay. He can be
just based on like skill level. Oh,
skill level, absolutely, absolutely. He's top 3. I see nothing in him that, like, who's my top 3 right now? Oliveira, or actually Dustin, Oliveira and Gaethje, and all those guys would defeat Moises the same way, in the same dominance, a different type of dominance, but in the same. No, they would take no damage. It'll be a one-sided ass kicking. All 3 of those guys against who did he fight tonight? Moises. He's a top 3 caliber fighter, but he just needs the resume now. I get the RDA fight. It's there. I personally like Islam Makhachev versus Michael Chandler. That's the fight I want to see, but I understand it probably won't happen. But I was hoping maybe Islam will run into the studio and, you know, challenge Chandler. He's right there. He had his fancy tie and everything on. So, but I just want to see him. Islam's ready. Give him a big fight. Put him on a co-main event, a featured fight on a pay-per-view. Let's get this rolling. No, we are. This is the post Khabib era. Let's see if Makhachev is the dude.
Yeah, I like the RDA fight. I think it makes sense.
Schedule-wise, it's probably going to happen. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were just booked a fight before Makhachev was forced to withdraw, and then Felder jumped in on like a week and a half notice or less than that. And, we got the fight that we got. So the card ended with finishes of fighters who had never been finished before. So I wonder if we can go back into the statistical world of MMA and find out the last time that happened, because Misha Tate stops Mary Renault, first fighter to ever do that. And then Thiago Moises had never been stopped prior this loss as well.
And how about Jeremy Stevens hadn't been submitted in 12 years. So we saw three finishes in the last, like, the top three fights that are just like, two that never happened. One was extremely rare.
And the Dustin Stolfus, the guy that fought Vieira, never been finished either. So he got finished for the first time tonight in his career too.
And I want to say Monsterat Conejo had never been finished either.
I believe you're correct. Yes.
I
think you're right about that.
I am correct.
A lot of butts got kicked tonight.
Yes.
But we said on the preview, I think Jose made the point, like, this is one of those cards where I don't know if there's any matchups that we were like, you know, we thought could really be big, really competitive fight of the night type fights. But we did see a lot of fights that we thought could be showcases for one side of it. And I think in that sense, we got what we, like, kind of what we just said. We saw people getting finished. They hadn't been finished before. We had quite a few finishes tonight. So interesting. It'll be interesting to see how the bonuses play out.
Ooh, can we play that game?
Yeah, let's play the game, Casey. You go first.
Ooh, oh my goodness. I think it's gonna be four performance bonuses tonight. Gamrot, absolutely. If there's a fight of the night, it'll probably go to Billy Q and Benitez. But I don't think it's gonna be fight of the night. I think it's gonna be four performance bonuses. So I'm gonna go Gamrot, Tate, Makhachev, and Limosh.
Okay.
I hope there's a fight of the night, because I do think Quarantillo and Benitez, even though it was one-sided at times.
I don't like giving
one-sided. But Benitez had his moments. But Benitez got the knockdown in the third. I mean, it was certainly a spirited fight. I'd like to see them get a fight of the night bonus. I did think it was a good fight. Though, again, very much a showcase for Quarantillo. And then I think if you're the UFC, you're going to give Misha the bonus to come back. It's a great story. You won't give Gamrot the bonus because Jeremy Stevens is the UFC's boy. the Lemos finish was a little weird. No, and it probably Lemos. Yeah, 35 seconds. Yeah, 35 seconds DKO. They'll still do it. That was a weird finish, though, eh?
I hated the finish. I hated the stoppage. Hashtag girl stoppage. That was 100% a girl stoppage. But Limosh was going to win that fight within the next.
I don't know.
She, it wouldn't finish in under a minute. But I felt Kaneo deserved the opportunity. When she got knocked down, I know we can talk about this later, but fuck it, I'm talking about it now. She got knocked down. Her head never hit the ground. Her eyes always were looking at Limosh. And she got up immediately. She didn't take any ground and pound shots. She got dropped. That's all she did. When people get dropped going forward, I don't know, refs get weirded out, but she was moving forward. Mm-hmm. So she got dropped, punched, and she fell forward rather than falling back. But bad stoppage. But Limosh clearly is the better fighter and a absolute beast. And she will be a top five strawweight very soon. And she will be... I would say fighting for a title within the next year and a half.
You know, on the replay, that the left, like the second, as she was falling forward, the left hand that connected, that just like rocked Conejo's head. I it looked a lot worse on the replay. So I'm gonna slightly defend Chris Tione here, a man who had some trouble calls in the past, and say, because he was right there, he kind of felt and saw how impactful that left hand was, and maybe he'd seen enough. But it was weird how Conejo sprang up immediately after, and not like sprang up in kind of that wobbly way. Like, she sprang up and was like,
let's go. Yeah.
Like, and circling intelligently. It was very strange. Clearly, again, I do think she'd been flash KO'd. I don't think she was aware that she got knocked down. She's just so damn tough. But yeah, the optics of it for us from the outside, or even like watching from home, of course, is like, it did look like a really, really, really fast stoppage. But I'll say on the replay, maybe referee Chris Tione
and I
had a little bit of a better view, but
and just that was not one. Because the very next fight, which wasn't by Chris Tione, it was done by the guy with the beard, Beltran.
Mike Beltran, yeah.
Yeah, he reffed Rodriguez and Parsons.
Yes.
And Parsons took such a worse beating. And I thought the stoppage was proper, but like, yeah. Think of the beating that guy took for the same type of just knockout loss. I mean, but that's the sport. We go over this every week. You know, I was like, I don't get it. But either way, it was an early stoppage, but not a stoppage that Conejo was going to, I feel, come back and win that fight. That's just Lemos. I thought she was a better fighter coming in, and she proved it by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get a fight of the night. I'll give it to Lemos. I'll give it to Gamrot.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to be both Makhachev and Tate. It's going to be one or the other.
I don't understand why those aren't performance bonuses for both of them, because it was just domination on both parts. So I don't know.
I'll go Misha. I say Islam does not get a bonus, even though he probably should. And I'm going to say Billy Q gets the fourth bonus.
For the finish. Okay. Oh, no money for Benitez, though. No. Poor Mowgli.
No money for Benitez.
Mowgli took a beating.
He took a vicious beating. Vicious beating.
And he took this fight on short notice.
Oh, man.
Okay. So we'll wait. We will update you. We will update you when the bonuses come in, and we'll see who is correct and who is not correct. Yes, Misha Tate, great performance. I thought she just looked so calm in there. Like, she looked at home. That's the as soon as she was getting introduced by Bruce Buffer, I'm like, there's like those natural nerves you have before like getting into a fight. But at the same time, like, Misha just looked like she belonged there. She looked at home. Did you agree with that, AK? Did you get that sense like immediately that this was not a bridge too far? This is the right decision. Like, she is back for the correct reasons.
Yeah. And I didn't want to go all Michael Cole on it, but I was almost going to tweet out like, this is vintage Misha Tate. Cause it was,
it was.
It really, like, we saw so, and I can't recall who said, I want to credit our boy, now, who was that tweeted? Anyway, I'm stealing someone's thoughts here. Some so-called MMA journalist. Mm-hmm. They said, man, it didn't look like she'd been out for five weeks, much less 5 years. You know what I mean? Like, she looked sharp. And again, everyone's going to say, oh, she fought a 44-year-old. She fought a fighter who's, you know, was planning to retire anyway. Sure. And that's not wrong. They picked the opponent wisely. They picked the opponent carefully. A skilled fighter, a tough fighter in Mary Minot, who again, had never been finished before. But someone who Misha Tate could have a strong performance against if she was at the top of her game, if she was even 75% of, like, you know, of her prime, she could have this kind of performance, and she did. And she looked great. The jab striking looks really tight. The jab looked great. She's in incredible shape. And then, of course, the wrestling has been there her whole career, and she went to it, and she went, and that's how she finished the fight. So it could not have, I don't think this could have gone better for her.
I would agree. Your thoughts on Misha's return, Casey?
Perfect. Perfect. Perfect matchmaking. She fought. Renault's a tough out, but she also she's on a 5-fight losing streak. She's 44. She's clearly not in her prime. And it was just smart matchmaking for Tate. Made Tate look great. And now, is Tate, you know, gonna beat Amanda Nunes, or is Tate gonna be, you know, that is she like up there? Can she beat Aspen Ladd or Irina Aldana? You know, Aspen Ladd's coming back next week or whatever. So we'll see on that how that goes. But I'm not sold if Tate is gonna be like a champion. But she's back. She looks good. She's ready to fight. And I'm just good matchmaking in the UFC. That's all. And Tate looked awesome. And this was the fight that yeah, no big crowd, no cloud of Ronda Rousey, no cloud of, you know, anything of a bad relationship. You know, if you know anything about her outside issues in her previous relationship, it definitely came into her fighting life. So it's good to see Misha Tate back in the game. That's all. It's good, and can't wait to see what's next. Holly Holm.
Yeah, I mean, that one's certainly there, and I feel like timing is—it's probably like the best time to do it now, because like, who knows? Holly's up there in age too. I mean, yeah. She's obviously in tremendous physical condition. She looked awesome in her last fight against Irina Aldana. but she's been kind of bit with the injury bug and, you know, different things along the way. So I feel like if you're going to try to put that fight together, you should probably try to put it together sooner rather than later.
And that was, rare call out. I don't know if I'm talking about Holly Holm actually put out on Instagram that basically she wants to fight Misha Tate. And so a very rare call out, I think, for Holly Holm. And it was a very polite one, too. It was like, we had a great fight. I'd love to get it back. Let's do it. You know, and Holly was so confident that she put this call out before Misha actually fought. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so.
My only reason I wouldn't want to see the Holly Holm rematch, not yet anyway, is I think there's a good chance that Holly Holm could win a 3-round fight with Misha Tate.
Oh, it needs to be 5 rounds. And, sorry.
Yeah. Okay, true. Rounds. Yeah, I mean, yeah. If we're talking fight night main event, yeah. Okay, you're right. This is almost like a perfect fight night main event for sure. Holly Holm has been in so many of those; it would not be surprising at all. But yes, right. You're right. Okay, 5-round fight. Obviously, I give Misha more of a chance. I mean, we're probably obviously all thinking about how their first fight went. And a 3-round fight, if they make it like a 3-round fight on like a pay-per-view, like a co-main or main card fight, or it's just a bad idea because I think Holly can easily win a fight like that. And I think you should be angling for Misha to, you know, get that another crack at Nunez or whoever happens to hold the title within, you know, 6 months. I think that's a marketable thing. It's obviously, I think, what the UFC wants. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. They should make it worth her while for her to come back. And she came back and she's been saying all the right things about wanting to make another run at the title. So why not?
A couple things to kind of go back to, things we've already discussed. One, apparently on the post-fight show, Islam Makhachev did call out Michael Chandler. And apparently, from what I'm seeing on Twitter, Karen Bryant and Michael Chiesa are like sort of prodding Islam and Chandler to continue this thing.
Good. Peer pressure.
The other thing, we have one bonus that I see. We do have a fight of the night. It is what we thought it would be. Billy Q and Mowgli Benitez, the fight of the night for UFC Vegas 31.
Gamrot.
Still waiting on the performance bonuses to come out.
Well, so it'll be Misha. One of them will be Misha.
So if it doesn't go to Limoges, that means that the UFC punished her for a potential early stoppage. That's all I'm feeling.
Yes,
correct. Because UFC has done it before. Because remember when GDR knocked out Aspen Ladd in like 15 seconds? And I think we all agreed that was kind of an early stoppage too. The UFC did not give GDR even though it was the main event, didn't give her a knockout bonus for that. So.
Now, Casey, you could argue also, I mean, you are a strong advocate for the bonuses, you know, being awarded also on level of competition. I think Lemos was probably, the second biggest favorite on the card, like second or third biggest favorite on the card.
Yeah, only because she's so dang good. I mean, I think Montserrat is a UFC caliber fighter. I think she's going to be she can, at her best, I think she can be a top 10 fighter. So I still think these are potentially two top 10 fighters who just aren't top 10 ranked yet. Like, that's why I wouldn't give a performance bonus to say Daniel Rodriguez over Preston Parker.
Sure. Oh, that's a bigger gap for me. Yes. I agree with.
And by the way, Dana White has no idea who either of those fighters are.
I know.
Lemos, Montserrat, Canelo, no clue who either of those fighters are.
I really hope Gamrot gets it now. Or they'll just go obviously.
Gamrot has to get one.
They might just do Makhachev and Tate.
He's the easy one.
They might just do Makhachev and Tate. I could see that.
That would be a travesty if Gamrot didn't get it.
The Moises one, that was a giant gap in competition between Moises and Makhachev, but whatever. I know, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think Makhachev's going to get a bonus.
Bummer.
I think he's out of the conversation. I could be wrong. Dominant. I mean, it was a great win. It was a dominant win.
Did he get hit hard once? I mean, was there how many significant strikes did
I'll look it up.
Moises land?
I saw a good leg kick in there. I saw I think in the fateful fourth round, I think it opened up with like a really nice Moises leg kick. But I also feel like if I can remember so distinctly the one or two good strikes he landed, that might not be a good sign. Like, it was so all rare that it's like, oh yeah, I remember the one leg kick.
All right, so significant strikes. Makhachev outlanded Moises 61-13. Total strikes, Makhachev outlanded him 148-18.
Wow.
Okay, so
Wow.
Pretty dominant.
So here, round by round.
And finish the fight.
Makhachev 32-3 in the first round, significant strikes. Round two, 12-4. Round three, 10-3. Round four, 7-3.
Jeez.
For significant strikes.
Statistically, that was more of a blowout than I even thought of when I saw it. You know, statistically, it's like, dang.
That dude's a Terminator. That dude Makhachev is a Terminator. Like, I told, of course, there's the Khabib comparisons, but like, man, he was just so calm. You could see the gears moving in his brain. You know what I mean? As he went from phase to phase, from stand up to clinching to fighting for underhooks to getting a takedown to like everything looked so. I saw on Twitter methodical. You know, it was a really outstanding performance. Again, yes, he was heavily favored, but I think we all like Moises here as kind of a lively opponent, and he just trucked him. I mean, it was just awesome.
We know, and all those fighters that turned Makhachev down, and you go, oh, you're not a real fighter. Hey, I get it. I get why you're not fighting that man. I get it. You know, that's got to be a weird position to be a top. You're one of the 10 best 155-pound killers in the world. And they go, I'm not going to fight that guy. That guy's way too tough. Hold on. But that's the reality, man. That's just, you know, it's a business. And he's a very dangerous fight. And not only when Makhachev seems to beat you, he beats you bad. Like, he doesn't make you, like, you don't even look competitive. You know, Dan Hooker lost to Paul Felder, or Dan Hooker lost to, Dustin Poirier. They're exciting fights, you know, and Dan Hooker lost, but, you know, you still look great in victory. You don't look great in victory. You don't look great in your loss when you fight Makhachev.
All right, you ready?
Which is very similar to Khabib. Oh, yeah, here we go.
All right, I haven't even seen these yet. I just opened it up. Let's see. Ooh, a shocking revelation, gentlemen. A shocking revelation. Not only was there a fight of the night, there were four performance bonuses.
What? That's not allowed.
Wait, they have a budget. The UFC has a budget. They're going to mess up the budget.
Oh, my. Oh, poor Dana White. What's going to – oh, no, poor Dana White in the UFC. All their money.
The budget.
And you're going to be –
Oh no!
Okay, and you might be surprised by what I'm about to say next before I reveal the names. Amanda Lemos, not one of them. Islam Makhachev.
Where is
this? Islam Makhachev, also not one of them. Misha Tate, Matush Gamrot, Rodrigo Nascimento, Adolfo Vieira are your four performance bonuses.
No, there was no Lemos in there, right? You said no
Lemos. No Makhachev.
But Gamrot did. There we go. That's good.
Gamrot got one. He was the last one listed. I don't know if it's like an order of impressiveness, but yep, Tate, Vieira, Nascimento, and Gamrot.
I disagree in the Vieira one big time. I mean, he lost the first round. He lost the first round. You know, it's like
Nascimento lost the first round too.
Yeah.
And you can argue that Nascimento kicking Bodo in the ding ding was the turning point of the fight, because he was losing like every second of it. And
why he deserves it too.
Why? Because he kicked him in the ding ding.
How does
always smart, cheat? Always
tactical.
Cheat.
Like how does Makhachev not get one, but Vieira gets one? I don't understand that.
And Nascimento gets one, and Lemos doesn't.
I'm a big Adolfo Vieira mark, and I have no idea why he would get.
We praise the four performance bonuses, right? And
yeah, that's
we
nice.
We still have a problem with it.
Congratulations to everyone who won bonuses. But yeah, some of the choices a little strange. I'm trying to see in the comments what people are how they feel about it.
Lemos got hosed.
Lemos definitely got hosed.
I really wish he got punished for the early stoppage. That's the only thing I can think of, that she got punished for that. Or
it's out of her hands.
Or it's political and someone in the UFC brass doesn't like Waleed Ismail or something. I don't know. That sucks.
Well. Jessica Crystal, our pal Jessica Crystal Crew is suggesting that because this was not a card filled with big ticket fighters, maybe that left room for more bonuses, which is probably true. That actually is part of the reason why. Yeah,
that leaves more room for Dana to pocket. That's on. But I mean, thank you. Well,
yeah, in the end, yeah.
Yeah, good for UFC for throwing out some more bonus money. I wish they would throw it in the right direction, but money's money, I guess. Oh well.
Yes, or as we always say, just raise salaries across the board. That'd be nice for the fighters, but that's a whole other discussion.
I'm just looking at it to make sure that, you know, the UFC didn't do like 12,500 each or something. But now
that it is. I see. Oh, that 25,000.
So 25,000 each.
Yeah, Lemos had, what, the second fastest finish in UFC strawweight history, I think?
Yeah.
Something like
yep.
that. Damn. Well, it wasn't fast enough, I guess.
Little tiny straw.
Yeah. Nothing to show for it.
Yeah, that's a bummer. All right.
Except the win and...
Support for this show comes from Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually, we're great, but together, we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of two, 200, or 2 million, or whether your team is around the corner or on another continent altogether, Atlassian software is built to help keep you all on the same page from start to finish. That way, every one of your teams, from engineering and IT to marketing, HR and legal, can stay connected and move together as one towards shared company-wide goals. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. Atlassian.
Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. Your body is your own. That's why Planned Parenthood is committed to ensuring that everyone has the information and resources they need to make their own decisions about their bodies, including abortion care. Today, lawmakers who oppose abortion are challenging Planned Parenthood. Affordable, high-quality, basic health care for more than 2 million people is at stake. Planned Parenthood believes that healthcare is a basic human right. That's why they fight every day to push for common sense policies that protect our right to control our own bodies. They also work tirelessly to oppose the onslaught of new policies aimed at interfering with personal decisions best left to patients and their doctors. They won't give up and they won't back down. You can join Planned Parenthood in the fight to help make sure that the next generation can decide their own futures. The organization needs your support now more than ever. With supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future to learn more and support their cause.
All right, let's go to the peeps, see what they have to say about the night's festivities.
All right, where am I?
As you search, let's shout out the rest of the winners. Daniel Rodriguez, first round finish over Preston Parsons. We talked about Lemos, Sergey Murazov. Gets a victory over Khalid Taha. Malcolm Gordon gets his first UFC win. He actually got into a second round for the first time in his UFC career.
Yes.
And beats Francisco Figueiredo. And then
Representative of the T dot, Malcolm Gordon.
And then Rodrigo Nascimento gets another victory, standing TKO, calls out Chase Sherman yet again.
Is there a story on that? I didn't understand that. They have a history?
Apparently he's just done it many times, and Chase Sherman tweeted afterwards, like, just give the guy this fight, please. It's getting weird.
It's just getting weird.
It was great. Great response. Of course, Chase is fighting Parker Porter on August 21st. Yes. Misha looked great. I was impressed with someone not fighting for 5 years. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that was perfect.
I thought Eric Nixick broke it down perfectly, and she looked very relaxed, and she looked very confident there. Like, the game hadn't moved on past her in any way. She evolved with it, and she looked really good.
Yeah. I think someone just put this out there. Yeah.
There's no way that fight happens.
Ain't happened. Same management, right?
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
I would like to see it.
Obviously, two elite lightweights. Of course, we want to see them, but business is going to get in the way of that one.
Yeah. Right. Plus, Dariush deserves deserves a top five guy.
Yeah, he's earned someone in front of him, not unfortunately behind him, ranking-wise. Skill-wise, Islam, obviously that's a very good fight, but not going to happen.
Yeah. Second and third best winning streaks in the division as well. Oliveira, number one, obviously, with 9, and then Makhachev with 8 tonight, and then Dariush with 7.
I mean, it would not go well for him, but, I mean, storyline-wise, Islam versus Tony Ferguson makes plenty of sense. I would hate to see it for Ferguson just because he has not been competitive at all in his last couple of fights, but
that actually, yeesh, you know what?
That would actually be a really good storyline fight.
Yeah, because that would be kind of like, well, we didn't get Habib, so we'll get Islam. Tony's crazy enough that he might take that fight.
Definitely.
We're not even questioning if he's crazy enough. Has Tony change the subject real quick? Has Tony talked about? Has he done any interviews post the Dariush fight or anything? Like, is like, was his knee torn up, or we just assume his knee is gone? He seemed like he lost that fight and just kind of, you know, went just radio silent, right? Am I forgetting an interview or anything?
He's training and stuff, so I have to go back and like look in the medical suspensions or whatever.
I'm just kind of curious.
I didn't see like any tears or anything like that. So,
okay.
I want Islam versus Chandler so bad, even though the RDA fight would be amazing. I mean, I'd like to see it too, but I don't think the UFC would. The UFC like has invested a lot in Chandler, and I just don't see them throwing him in there with Islam right now. I think they will do everything in their power to get Chandler in there with Justin Gaethje. I feel like that fight just makes perfect sense at this point.
Poirier's
going to fight Oliveira. Chandler's back in the conversation.
Maybe.
I mean, that's going to happen. Are you kidding me? What do you mean maybe? You're talking about Connor?
I'm talking about a 7 foot tall, 300 pound Nate Diaz.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen.
I'm just saying. Hey, man, we all said Francis Ngannou versus John Jones, Derek Lewis, that has to happen. We're not getting that, so.
Listen, you already know we're going to get from Nate. You already know we're getting from Nate next, right? It's a fight that like nobody wants to see, but we're going to see it now. We're going to see the rematch between Diaz and Masvidal. There's no doubt in my mind that's what we're going to see because it actually makes sense.
It actually does make sense. Yeah, it does make sense. You're right.
It's in the works.
The sport's amazing how you can get your ass kicked in a fight and somehow you get more options. It's like, who knows? Hey, Habib
they were going
right
to try to make
it depending who you are.
Habib was right. When you become champ, sometimes you become a prisoner. And that's the only reason I suggest that Dustin might not fight Charles Oliveira, because he might have more options outside. When you have that belt, you're stuck a little bit. So just saying.
I think he wants that belt, though. He said it a lot. Like, that's like the cherry on top of his sundae. He's got the money fights. The Conor fight's still going to be there for him. And if he happens to win the belt and defends it another time, he could fight Conor for the belt, and that's going to be even bigger, which is – I can't believe I'm saying that into a live microphone, but this is the world we live in, and that fight's happening, whether he has the belt or not. So,
I wish we had Jose on, but to talk about this man,
Gamrot was amazing tonight. Is he one or two fights away from the top 15? Gamrot versus someone like Dober would be interesting. Yeah, I mean, you know what'd be interesting if they gave Gamrot a top 10 guy next. And poor Islam Makhachev, like, can't get a top 10 guy.
And it's funny because there's guys in the top 10 who would be like, you're right, would view him as probably a less dangerous fight than Makhachev. So like, oh, yeah, I'll fight him. I'll fight him instead. Plus, as we said, there's kind of the management issues with Makhachev being managed by, the same person as some other guys in the top 10. So, and there wouldn't be that issue with Gamrot. He should definitely get a top 15 guy. The only question is who? Drew Dober makes sense. Brad Riddell, Diego Fajeda, maybe Dan Hooker fights him instead of fighting an Islam Makhachev. Gregor Gillespie, yeah, there's some matchups in there. There's definitely some matchups in there. He should get a top 15 next.
Does Jeremy Stephens get another fight in the UFC after this?
Yeah.
You both like both like peered off at the same time. No. That's great.
No. No, he does. It's not time for him to go into bare knuckle boxing yet, though he'd be a friggin' star there. So I don't know why he wouldn't do it if, as long as UFC wants to employ him. But I think they give him one more fight.
Five straight losses.
Five straight. Yeah. That's not counting the no contest, right? You're skipping the no. So six winless appearances.
Yeah, six.
Five actual losses. Yeah, five actual losses in a row. I say you give him one more fight against someone who's, you know, a little bit more of a stand-up jerk.
Close. That's the fight.
That fight's Dracar Close. That's it.
I don't think they want to do that.
Who doesn't want to do it?
Why?
Who doesn't want to do it?
I think they genuinely hate each other.
Who's they don't want
to
do it?
I think they genuinely hate each other to the point where they don't want to work together anymore. It's that kind of hatred.
Where it's Dracar will work with him. Trust me.
I don't think Stevens does. Stevens has been saying all this mess about like, oh, I don't respect him. And again, I know he's just talking, but.
But I feel like this is the only fight that keeps him in at this point. Because like, I feel like the, I don't know if like litmus test is the right word to describe him, but I feel like him being like the over the hump guy, it's over. Like that's it. I think it's done.
No, but I think the UFC just matches him up with someone else who they know is going to stand and strike. Because I think they thought that was going to be like that with Gamrot, but Gamrot's like super well rounded and like an amazing grappler. So maybe they just had it wrong because he shot for that single leg like right away and took the fight down. I guess because Gamrot won his last fight against Holtzman by knockout, they thought, oh, he'll be a stand. It'll be a stand up battle with him and Stevens. Like, well, it didn't turn out that way. So I think there are guys who are, you know, stand up guys that they could match up with Stevens and it could actually be entertaining.
Do you remember Dracar Costa's last fight?
Not very well.
It was like a fight of the year contender against Beneil Dariush. Mm-hmm. It was insane. It was nuts.
I don't think he's very good. I agree. I like Dracar Costa. I don't think the UFC cares about him. Look at the way
I agree. They don't care about him. I definitely agree about that. Yeah.
Look at the way Dana White has handled the situation. He has not come to Dracar Close's defense at all. He has very like side taken a lot of swipes at how Dracar Close has handled the situation. I don't think he's going to give him the Jeremy Stevens fight. Jeremy Stevens is one of his boys, and I don't think he cares about making that matchup again. Unfortunately, because it would be great.
Yeah. The storyline's great. It's like a true grudge match. And
yeah, you're right. This is like they call it bad blood all the time, but this one is legit. Yeah, I want to see that one. Now, yeah, I've never said I want to see a Dracar Close fight. I mean, I like Dracar Close, but I've never said I got to see this, but that's the fight I really want to see.
This promotion has messed up Edwards, Masvidal, and Jones and Ngannou. So don't tell me that Stevens Dracar Close has to happen because I don't trust them to necessarily do the right promotional thing here.
Okay,
it's gonna get booked for like UFC 266. You just watch.
Oh my gosh.
Fighter of the night, Lamish coach.
The notorious Waleed Ismail. Oh.
Great promo, Cotter.
The Paul Heyman of MMA managers. The Paul Heyman of MMA managers. He's just so good.
Sure.
You know what we need? You know what we need to do? We need to have a video segment featuring our own Guillerme Cruz, where we just take what the fighter actually says, compare it to what Waleed says, and then have Guillerme like actually translate it to what the fighter actually says, and see if they're like how close and probably more how far apart the two statements are. Because that would be an amazing segment. I'd love it. I would love to be a part of that.
I messaged Gui immediately because I'm like, I was like, okay, I handle sort of tweeting stuff out from our MMA fighting account during the show. And I'm like, I don't feel comfortable tweeting out what Waleed is translating. Not because it's offensive or anything. I just don't trust him that's what he said. I can't put like Amanda Lemos said this. I'm like, did she? But Gui said for the most part, he did kind of translate what she said. He just added a lot on top of it.
That's what it does. Because most UFC normally has translators. He's not a translator. He's an interpreter. You know, he's like, she said it, but this is what she really means. You know, so it's great. I remember Waleed Ismail before Figueroa was the champ. When he was just winning fights, and he would, you know, Figueroa would come to the post-fight scrums, and you know, Figueroa says like a couple of things, but then Waleed kind of talks for, you know, 10 minutes over like a 30-second, you know, thing, and like it was so interesting, and like he sold me on Figueroa. I was like, oh, I want to see this guy fight. So, yeah, I get those aren't real quotes, but he's doing his job perfectly.
Remember after, was it 255 when Figueiredo beat Alex Perez? It was the same car Moreno beat Brandon Royval. And Figueiredo goes up to the post-fight presser, and all of his answers were like 4 seconds long. And then like Waleed would talk for like 8 minutes at a time. It was awesome. It was so good.
And they got to the point where we just asked Waleed questions like, "How does your fighter feel tonight?" You know, he was just. Oh wait, this is my Waleed Ismail story. So a few years ago, we're in the fighter hotel, and the morning before the fight. I go down to the hotel gym. I'm in the fighter hotel gym, you know, lifting weights, you know, I got my 20-pound dumbbells, like, you know, whatever. Waleed comes in there. He looks at me. We don't know each other. He looks at me. He grabs, like, the 55ers, you know, and sort of starts doing that, and he just looks at me. I'm like, oh, yeah. He just, like, stares at me, just doing curls of 55s. I'm like, oh, that's this guy's amazing. Crazy. I love this guy.
I love that. That's amazing. Yeah. God, I would have loved to have seen that. Yeah. I think Casey goes and grabs the 22.5s. Yes. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Here we go.
I'm getting lean, buddy. I'm getting lean. No, it's lean muscle.
Cutting, bro. I'm cutting.
Cutting, bro.
All right, what else we got?
Little bit more limosh.
Does Amanda Lemos deserve a top five? She claims that Tisha Torres turned her down. Well, Torres is fighting Angela Hill anyways, so that's off the table. Who did I say I wanted to see her fight? Angela Hill would be an interesting fight. Torres would also be an interesting fight because I feel like, especially in this division, Torres is the litmus test. Like, to see if you're next level, you throw in there with Tisha. Like, they did that with pretty much everybody. Even like Brianna Van Buren. Everyone was so impressed with her debut. They threw her in there with Tisha. Tisha did what Tisha does. And we haven't seen Brianna Van Buren since. So...
She had a baby. She had a baby, if you're wondering.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's why.
Yeah. So, I mean, does she deserve a top five? I don't know. Could she fight a top five fighter?
She could fight one.
Yan Xiaonan is my pick. That's the fight.
Yeah. Yan makes the most sense. Is Claudia?
Yeah. Because who's Lemos's biggest win? Lavinia, I guess. Maybe Mizuki Inoue.
Either one, they're kind of the same. I'll put them on the same level.
But neither of them are. I wouldn't call either of them. I don't think either of them are really in the top 15. Maybe Lavinia was when she beat her. Nah, I don't know. I wouldn't even go that far. So I don't know. I don't think she's ready for top five. Because if we're talking top five, we're talking outside of the champion, Zhang Weili, Joanna Jacek, Carla Esparza. I would say Mackenzie Dern's in there now, maybe.
Who's got a fight?
And Mike. Well, Mike, and you just said Yan Xiaonan, so I mean, she is kind of. I'd still kind of put her around the top five, so I guess. But again, I'm not picking that fight necessarily. So yeah, I don't know if I want to do that with Lemos yet. I'd say the somewhere in the next five, somewhere from 6 to 10, I think is where we'll find an opponent for her.
I think she's gonna be very hard.
The MMA fighting global rankings. Lemos is actually 14 on our global rankings as well. I'm sure she's gonna be getting a little bumpski from there. So we got Marina at 6. She's fighting Dern. We got Yan Xiaonan at 7. Claudia Gadelha at 8. Watterson at 9. That's not a bad idea. And then Tisha's at 10. Hill at 11. Nina Nunes. Not a bad idea either. And then there's Hibas and John DeRoba, and they're getting ready to fight each other. So, yeah.
Yep.
There's a few options there for
her. She has a lot of options. I hope they don't do anything. And they're all good options, honestly. Based on what we've seen from her during this win streak, again, if she got a top five, like a Yan Xiaonan or something like that, I wouldn't be surprised. But I think we can one away for me from a top opponent.
With the USC, we'll probably do because it just would be unbelievable, but not surprising. They'll give Zhang Weili the title shot, and then they'll throw Lemos in there with Carla Esparza. Oh, yeah, Carla, just beat her. Just beat this Amanda Lemos monster, and then you get a title shot.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
It's so brutal. It's so unfair.
Oh, that's so something they would do.
Yeah. I mean, Lemos against somebody in the top 10 is fine with me. Anybody.
Yeah.
I like the Watterson idea because Watterson will bring the fight to her.
I think it's a bad fight for a lot of. I think it's a tough fight for every woman in that top.
Yeah,
I think it's anyone.
She's really good.
She actually. I mean, I know they have different fighting styles, but I get the same vibe when I see when I see her fight, when I see Makhachev fight, even though they're not ranked in the top five, they feel like they're a top five fighter, you know? So yeah, like the way they dominate their opponents and just take no damage. Yeah.
Take like maybe two more.
Yeah. We got a couple more.
Ooh, Rodriguez versus Michel Pajeda. That is just all sorts of fun.
You know, that's a good thing about Rodriguez and Michel Pereira. They're hard to book wrong. We want to see them as much as often as possible. They're exciting fighters, and yeah.
I have as much as I love Michel Pereira, I actually have Daniel Rodriguez quite higher ahead of him in the rankings. So I'd like to see him. I almost wish I could run back that Nicholas Dalby fight. That was so much fun, and a very close fight as well. Who's next?
Right answer,
guys, if you want our, yeah, I was about to say, guys, if you want our full answers, I mean, look, we have a podcast every that comes out it comes out Sunday and Monday onto the next one. Sure. But no, if I'm looking at it now, I mean, I have to do a little more, look into it more, but I think he's on the cusp of the top 20. So I would like to see him face the top 20 guy. I think he's of that level. I really think he's such a talented and fun fighter to watch. So give him a top 20 guy, please.
I have your answer. And I've said it the last like three Daniel Rodriguez fights. It's James Krause. That's the fight.
I like it. Is he booked? I feel like I haven't heard his name as a fighter.
No, recently. I don't think he is.
He's just kind of waiting for the right
fight. He fights once or twice a year. He doesn't care where he fights. As long as he wants to fight and he doesn't have 14 fighters also fighting on the card, he'll take any fight. As long as it's like not, I don't know if he'll go to Abu Dhabi. Well, he might go to Abu Dhabi again. He took that last fight on like a week and a half's notice. So, yeah, put him in front of fans. He'll do it.
It's a good fight. Yeah,
pay him. Don't take too much of his taxes away. He'll fight anybody. He doesn't care.
What do we think is the ceiling for Daniel Rodriguez?
Title contender.
He's good, man.
I think he could contend for a title. Could he win it? Yes, I don't know. I'd have to see a little bit more, but I think with the right opponents, the right win streak, I think he could challenge for a title.
All
right. For me, it's Krause, or I kind of want to see him Baeza fight.
Oh,
I would love that. I'm very high on Baeza as well.
I like that. I like that. There's a lot of good fights. There's a lot of good fights for him. He's in that good ranking where you can pretty much give him anybody, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, outside of like a random newcomer like he got tonight, which was a short notice. So yeah, I like it all.
Remember, he was supposed to fight Kevin Holland last year at 170 pounds. Remember that?
Yeah, Walter Ray, Kevin Holland. some people suggest the Chaos Williams. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot. You can't really screw it up. Yeah, that's why he's a great fighter having a roster, because he's always gonna be exciting. He's a great mid card guy, and if he keeps winning, hey, good for him.
we've had Chaos mess up with like every non top 10 welterweight in the last like month. Like every time a welterweight wins a fight and they're not in the top 10, it's like Chaos Williams. So Chaos, I don't know where you're at, buddy, but book a fight, please. People are dying to see you.
Yeah. You could do Max Griffin, you could do Carlos Condit. All those are fun. Okay, so you listen to hardcore, that cool modern life is war are super solid.
It's not for us, Mike. This comment's not for us. I don't even understand this sentence. I don't even understand the sentence.
They're a rock and roll band, AK. Mm-hmm. They're a rock and roll. Google them. All right.
Where's Doja Cat?
All right. You know what?
You think we're good?
Yeah, like, what happened to the Krause and Buckley fight? Yeah, someone said that. Did that fight just die?
That fight's been dead for a while.
Yeah.
Although that is still there, because yeah. I mean, I remember I talked to Julian Marquez, and he said no one at the gym is allowed to take that fight before Krause takes it.
All right.
And they're all like, okay, that's fine with us. We'll do that. We'll wait.
I've seen someone's asked a couple of things about this. What is this about?
I have no idea. I
you saw that? It was like,
no. I feel like
about. maybe did the Russian or one of the international broadcasts.
Okay, just wondering.
It's very possible. Just sorry, like Brandon Moreno does the Spanish broadcast.
On Wii Variety Hour, you got to explain yourself. If you ask a question like that, you got to have context. We hopped onto this post-fight show like right after. So there was some hilarious Sergey Spivak meme that we missed. Otherwise, we were just being trolled, Casey. But
all right. Well, you know what it's time for? It's time for
the music. Yes. It's time to do some more work and then get some shut eye before me and AK do some matchmaking tomorrow.
We do this all over again.
We'll talk about this all over again. I got to tell you, just kind of like thinking about it.
All the suggestions are coming in. My God, they're pouring in. Good Lord.
Yeah, my DMs are exploding. I will say that already off the top of my mind, this has been a pretty easy episode to book so far.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I agree.
Pretty easy. So, more on that tomorrow, probably around noon Eastern time. That'll drop on the podcast network and then launch on the website on Monday morning. And then we get another very busy week ahead of us. A lot going on in the MMA fighting world.
Real main event next week. Real main event.
Oh, Paige VanZant versus Rachel Ostovich? You're damn right, Casey. Mm. I will be there. I will be there live and in person in Tampa. Going out Wednesday. So look for the coverage. That'll be going down. And, of course, we got TJ Dillashaw versus Corey Sandhagen next Saturday. So
The return of poor TJ. Have you guys seen all the promos about his documentary that's on Fight Pass? Poor TJ. Poor TJ. What a victim. Poor guy. Thank God he's back. Poor TJ.
A lot of bantamweights on that card. Don't forget the People's Main Event. Adrian Yanez versus Randy Costa going down on that card next week as well. Dr. Pepper versus Reese's. Had the chance to speak to one Adrian Yanez. You'll hear that conversation Tuesday on What the Heck, which should be a fun episode with a whole cast of different characters. Some more on that coming up on Monday night. But until then, we are out of here. I am Mike Heck for AK, for EKC Leiden. Good night, everybody.
Suns in 8? Suns in 9?
Suns in 7. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
All right, here we go. Happy birthday.
Celtics in 6.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this podcast comes from Planned Parenthood. It's hard to imagine a world where we leave future generations with fewer rights and freedoms. Since the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade, politicians in nearly every state have introduced bills aimed at blocking people from getting the essential sexual and reproductive care they need, including abortion. Planned Parenthood believes everyone deserves access to care. And with supporters like you, they can reclaim our rights and protect and expand access to abortion care. Visit PlannedParenthood.org/future to learn more and support their cause.